Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Welcome to our special edition of the Veterans News Hour. I'm your host, David Corey. Our guest today is Robert David Steele, a former Marine Corps infantry officer and a former spy for the Central Intelligence Agency, who returned to the Marine Corps as a second-ranking civilian in Marine Corps intelligence, responsible for creating the Marine Corps intelligence activity. After 20 years of government service, Robert spent the next 20 years as a CEO championing open-source intelligence and then open source everything engineering. He was recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to migrate the craft of intelligence away from spies and secrecy favoring war and waste towards open sources and methods favoring peace and prosperity. Today, he is a co-founder with Dr. Cynthia McKinney of hashtag UNUNRIG. It's hashtag UNRIG Summer of Peace, an attempt to restore integrity to the U.S. government by the 2018 election. We live in a very divided time, and it's my privilege to have Robert on our show tonight, a true genius who's trying to unite the United States and defeat those who are dividing us. So welcome, Robert.
Oh, David, it's an honor to be with you, and I salute all veterans and all dads today. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now, I know, Robert, you've been a prolific author for most of your life. In the last election season, you published the Trump Revolution series, including the book Donald Trump, Accidental President, President Under Siege, and your bestseller, Soft Coup, Burning Crap. You've personally confronted former CIA Director John Brennan and the CIA over their lies about the Russian hacking the election. So let's start with an overview of what do you think happened in this last election?
Oh, thank you for that. Bottom line here is that both the Democratic and Republican Party rigged their primary systems. The Republicans to get Jeb Bush to be the nominee, and the Democrats to get Hillary Clinton to be the nominee. Donald Trump triumphed over the Republican rigged system because he was a genius at Twitters and basically getting earned media attention. Hillary Clinton triumphed because Bernie Sanders was never serious about defeating her or challenging her. He knew that she was going to steal 13 primary elections from him. So at the end of it all, we had the perfect storm, and Donald Trump aroused the alt-right and Bernie Sanders aroused the alt-left, but Donald Trump won by a hair because several things came together. The first is white hat hackers from inside the intelligence community stopped Hillary Clinton from stealing 13 states from Donald Trump. You also had the various leaked emails, including an Israeli Mossad operation with Seth Rich to throw Hillary under the bus. And finally, you had the Hillary Clinton spaz attack in front of the 9/11 memorial.
Yes.
All of these things, plus the Anthony Weiner laptop with 650,000 emails that demonstrated that Hillary Clinton was a traitor and perhaps a charity fraud and, of course, electoral fraud and associated with pedophiles, all of that at the end of the day led to Donald Trump winning by a whisker. He is our legitimately elected president. However, because he wasn't supposed to win, all the odds makers gave him 20-1 to 200-1. Even Cambridge Analytica, his own firm, said at noon on election day, your odds of winning are 20%. So they tried to flip the Electoral College. John Brennan, in co-conspiracy with the Mossad, with the Israeli Intelligence Service, led a narrative of the Russians hacking the election. That's an absolute lie. And I have appeared on Russia Today. I have written publicly. I'm one of 29 people that confronted and defeated the lies about Russia hacking the election. The Russians did not hack the election. They certainly snooped, as did the Israelis, the Germans, the French, and everybody else. But they did not hack the election. The DNC was Seth Rich as an Israeli operative. He was trained in Israel. and some NSA leaking because they were angry at Clinton. The John Podesta pedophile emails were a Romanian taxi driver, Guccifer, who we actually had as a prisoner in the United States, and we found him clean and we sent him back to Romania to serve out his prison term. And then, of course, the Anthony Weiner laptops. So God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. He's an accidental president. The biggest mistake Trump has made so far is to not broaden his base immediately upon becoming president and not seeking to unrig the system. In fact, we have people now calling me every day saying, I love your hashtag unrig, but why isn't Donald Trump leading this?
Right.
I have that question also.
So tell us about your work with Dr. McKinney in that regard.
I'm really honored to know Cynthia McKinney. This is an elegant, gracious, professional politician, six-term representative by the way, she does have a PhD in leadership, and she's now teaching in Bangladesh, and we're raising money to bring her back. My first political book, I've always been a professional intelligence officer, not engaged in politics or thinking about politics. My first professional book was Election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig. That led to an invitation from Joseph McCormick, a transpartisan, to participate in a conference in Denver, 2009. And that's where I met Cynthia McKinney, Dr. McKinney, and Steve Berman, who's now joined us as a bridge builder. I then, in 2011, was very enthusiastic about Occupy. Even though Occupy may be considered by some to be a leftist movement, it's not. It's actually a bottom-up movement. It's an uprising, as Steve Berman would say. I went and briefed Occupy, the Electoral Reform Working Group, and I talked about election reform as root. Whether you're a left of center or a right of center person, no issue you believe in is going to be addressed honestly by a Congress that is totally corrupt. So I have been championing election reform, and I ran for president for the Reform Party in 2012. That's when I learned that we have 8 accredited political parties, 6 of which are blocked by the two-party tyranny. And I'm also the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction. I reviewed over 2,500 books in 98 categories. And I have an essay, Democracy Lost, with 100 book reviews on what's wrong with American democracy and how to fix it. What it all boils down to is that the left and the right, the blacks, the whites, the Latinos, the Indians, everybody needs to come together to restore integrity to our election process. And that's where Cynthia McKinney and I married up. That's where we realized that there was an opportunity here. And the first piece has already happened. The alt-right leaders have linked up with black leaders in New York City. I'm deeply honored to know Judge Napolitano, Andrew Napolitano, one of the great constitutional scholars, and I hope a future Supreme Court justice, and Roger Stone, who will be our campaign manager on the right. Russ Vernet, Ross Perot's campaign manager for United We Stand, is slated to become our primary campaign manager. Eventually, I'm going to reach out to Joe Trippi and ask him to run our outreach to the left. I've already started outreach to Latinos with a superb Spanish language interview done by Denise Wilbank. I may be speaking to the Latino Chamber of Commerce in Houston. And Univision, very important Latino channel, in the last week in June. So Cynthia and I are educators. We are not doing this as a political action thing. That can only be done by citizens. Only citizens acting locally should talk to their own politicians. Our job is to show Americans that we can come together in the next 120 days and bury the deep state.
I really love the hashtag unrig summer of peace. I think that timing couldn't be better in view of the shootings in Alexandria, Virginia this past week. Can you tell us more about that process,
yes,
that program?
Well, let me first give a shout out to Dr. Randy Short, a man of color and a historian who graduated from Harvard and is also a minister. He and I had lunch, and we have been working very hard to get people of color and the alt-right to come together. That's step one. It was Randy that pointed out that hashtag resist is a summer of violence. I mean, you have Loretta Lynch on YouTube, the Attorney General of the United States, saying that we need a summer of blood. Is she insane? That's sedition. That's treason. Unfortunately, that's what George Soros and the deep state believe in. They want to divide and conquer. So they are paying people to protest in July, and they want to create gender gaps and class gaps and color gaps and so forth. They're also paying for shooters. I will predict that when Black Lives Marches and other things happen, white mercenaries will shoot cops and blame it on the blacks. Wow. Okay? Now, we have reached out to resist, but it's too early for resist. We need to build the momentum from the right to the center first. But eventually, we want hashtag unrig and hashtag resist to dismiss George Soros, dismiss the deep state, come together and create hashtag Second American Revolution, abbreviated Second AMREV, Second AMREV, okay?
And this would be a peaceful revolution. This would be a peace. This would be a peaceful revolution.
A peaceful, law-abiding, ethical revolution in which local citizens come together and confront their members of Congress and demand that their members of Congress reconnect with we the people. And I'm still holding out hope that our president, our legitimately elected president, Donald Trump, who has said we have a rigged system, will embrace this and lead this. But if Donald Trump will not lead this, we've been trying for 6 months to get him to lead it. If Donald Trump will not lead this, well, by God, Cynthia McKinney and I will. And so will Rand Paul and Tulsi Gabbard.
Now, let me ask you this, Robert. You mentioned before deep state. We're starting to hear more and more about that in the media. I know you, probably more than anyone, have done a lot to educate the public about the deep state. You have a lot of intel experience, CIA experience. Can you tell us more what the deep state really means, the role of the intel community, yes, et cetera?
Thank you so much for that question because it's fundamental. I have worked for the deep state. I have run a false flag operation for the CIA. No one died. Most people make the mistake of thinking that the deep state is unelected bureaucrats. That's not correct. They are, with the two-party tyranny, the best of the servant class. The deep state actually begins with the Rothschilds and the Black Pope, the Jesuit Pope, who is above the White Pope. And the Rothschilds are above the Queen of England. They control the banking world, the City of London and Wall Street. And when they need to make money, they start a war, or they manipulate exchange rates, or they manipulate interest rates, okay? The banks control the two-party tyranny in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, everywhere else. All over the world, the banks control the two-party tyranny and the central bank. The central bank is not a national bank. It is a private bank that serves as the overseer of a captured government. So in the United States of America, once we have election reform, one of our first priorities must be to nationalize the Federal Reserve and stop this idiocy of the government being owned by the banks.
Okay? Well, the deep, so go ahead.
No, last quick, David, one last quick comment. The CIA was created by Wall Street. And what we have found in the last few years, and all of the negative things I know about the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA spying on Americans and spying on our politicians and blackmailing our politicians, I have learned since I left the CIA. I am not revealing any secrets here. This is all open source information. What we have discovered is that the $100 billion a year secret intelligence community is not about protecting America. It's about building its budget. And it's about spying on and blackmailing U.S. politicians and judges and celebrities and others in a position to influence the public. Donald Trump has the power to close the National Security Agency down tomorrow. He also has the power to do something the National Security Agency is lying to him about. He has the power to assign William Binney, the most honest, experienced a whistleblower from NSA, to go into the NSA databases and pull out every email and cell call from every traitor and every pedophile and every agent of a foreign power in the United States of America. NSA is hiding the fact that it has all of that information, to include all information pertaining to whether Jared Kushner is a Mossad agent.
Wow. Now, when I hear the term deep state, I think of DEEP in two sense, in two really aspects. One, that it's highly secret from most of the public. And number two, it's deeply rooted. So how do you essentially take down the deep state? I know you said President Trump has a lot of power, but what can citizens be doing? What can your listeners?
That's an awesome question. In fact, I don't think I've been asked that question before, and I've been thinking about publishing a Kindle short. And by the way, all of my stuff in the Trump Revolution series is a Kindle short, not a book, and it's also free online if you look up for the title, because I'm not trying to make money here. I'm trying to educate people. Donald Trump can destroy the deep state with three different things. The first is the Election Reform Act. He has got to create a base for him, because I absolutely guarantee you, two Republican governors, four Republican senators, maybe more, and possibly the Vice President of the United States are going to be tainted by pedophilia. I am not saying the Vice President is a pedophile, but I do know that he is a pedophile enabler and cover-upper, just as Reince Priebus is. They covered up Denny Hassert, the Speaker of the House, who is a convicted pedophile. They have covered up the misdeeds of a number of senators, some of whom have been recently named, including John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Feldstein, and Chuck Schumer. And we also have Nancy Pelosi. There is an Illuminati satanic cult at the top of the U.S. government, and it includes senators from both parties, but the Republican Party is more vulnerable to a public discovery of all of this. So Donald Trump needs to lead the Election Reform Act against the day when the Republican Party self-destructs and he has no power base in Washington. He needs to have a Trump channel. He needs to create an educational means of communicating with the public, and he needs to do this two ways, which is why I'm high on pollmole.vote. Okay, and disclosure, pollmole.vote is giving me a stipend, which is very helpful. But the bottom line is people can judge for themselves. What pollmole.vote would allow you to do is send out a trumpet. We want to bury Google, Twitter, and Facebook. Send out a trumpet on an independent presidential system, and then 150 million voters come back. And that's in a single presidential dashboard that allows our president to have better political intelligence than any person in Congress, any newspaper, any member of the fake news media, any academic or whatever. And then that allows him to essentially understand what the public wants and educate the public and then drive policy on an evidence-based fashion. So that's number two. Number three, Donald Trump has appointed people without proper vetting. Reince Priebus represents the deep state. Mike Pence works for Dick Cheney and the Bush family and Paul Ryan and John McCain. He does not work for Donald Trump. Herbert McMaster is a never-Trumper. He should never have been appointed as National Security Advisor. He is a traitor. He co-conspired with John McCain and John Brennan, Saudi Arabia and Israel, to do the false flag in Syria a few weeks ago. The White Helmets were paid $300,000 to $400,000 by Saudi Arabia and Israel to do that. It was a ground device. An MIT professor has done a phenomenal job of showing that it was an improvised ground explosive. There was no sarin gas. But McMaster is betraying the president in collaborating with foreign powers to try and put 150,000 ground troops in Syria, which is partially a Goldman Sachs, Dick Cheney play to have a war that raises the price of oil and to take the Golan Heights away from Syria once and for all, because Dick Cheney owns the exclusive contract for all of the oil that is under the Golan Heights that belongs to Syria, not Israel.
Wow. So what's the method to remove those that you have just said weren't properly vetted by President Trump?
Well, unfortunately, if President Trump is not willing to take leadership of #unrigged, and if he is not willing to listen and understand that he needs to clean house completely, I believe President Pence should be asked to resign. You cannot fire President Pence, but he can be asked to resign, and offering him a presidential pardon. He has many, many misdeeds in his past, including severe financial misdeeds. He used a private email server when he was governor of Indiana. He has continued to refuse to release all of those emails to the public. He's done some in hard copy. But basically, Mike Pence is no better or worse than Hillary Clinton when it comes to private email and abuse of his government position. I think Mike Pence should be offered a pardon and asked to resign. And I think Cynthia McKinney would be an excellent replacement for him. Imagine Donald Trump and Cynthia McKinney taking America forward on the basis of unity for integrity. It doesn't get any better than that. Right. So what the American public has to do is let President Trump know that right now he has zero support in the larger public. And the fastest way for him to protect himself and lead all of us is to embrace hashtag unrig.
Very good. Now, you mentioned this Election Reform Act. Can you tell us the components of that, what that really involves?
I certainly can, and I thank you for that. I'm going to be very, very brief. Yes. There are 12, and they all go together. You can't do one or two and not do them all. Number one is universal registration, and most prisoners do not lose the right to vote. Okay, we have judges that are being bribed to put young people and black people in jail to feed the prison complex. Number two is free and equal ballot access. Anybody in America, with or without a party behind them, should be able to get ballot access with the same number of signatures, not the skewed system we have now. Number three is tightly drawn districts, only counting U.S. citizens. California would lose four congressmen if we did not count the illegal aliens and foreigners living in California as the basis for assigning congressional districts across the country. Four is free and equal public funding. Eliminate the influence of the bankers on Congress. Free and equal media access. All of our social media, as well as our mainstream fake news media, have public charters. They must be forced to give equal prominence to every candidate for office. Number six is inclusive debates and cabinet debates. The League of Women Voters had the presidential debate stolen from them by the two-party tyranny because they were including third, fourth, and fifth party candidates, and they were not revealing the questions beforehand. So we need to give the debate process back to the League of Women Voters. And we also need to have cabinet level debates, which is to say presidential candidates must appoint their cabinet 30 to 90 days in advance of Election Day, must have at least one cabinet meeting, must make their cabinet appointees available for like agriculture cabinet debates, defense cabinet debates, and so forth. And finally, must publish a balanced budget 30 days prior to Election Day so that the public can compare where they're going. Number seven is open primaries. I do want to stress, all of these are just ideas for national conversation. This is not a take it or leave it prescription. Number eight is Election Day as a holiday and free public transport. The system right now is skewed against poor people. It's skewed against working people. We do everything possible to discourage the people that really need government as a protector from voting. Number nine is huge. Paper ballots and exit polls. And this is where pollmall.vote also comes in. Diebold and all of the electronic voting machines were designed for fraud. They were designed to predetermine who is elected. And the Secretary of State of each state that controls the electronic voting machines controls that process. So paper ballots counted publicly on site is absolutely the non-negotiable basic foundation for democracy in America. Number 10 is end winner take all. The system is rigged now so that you'll have six candidates that will draw away the vote, and then the pre-selected candidate miraculously emerges with a tiny fractional win, okay? Under instant voting, if you have first, second, and third choices, then you have, with paper ballots counted publicly, you end up with someone who is acceptable to the majority as either a first, second, or third candidate. Number 11 is legislative process integrity. All legislation posted in advance online with track changes, no secret clauses. And finally, number 12 is economic and financial democracy. We restore unionization by overturning Taft-Hartley 14B, and we nationalize the central banks. And all of this is one singular package that it is within our power to demand in the next 120 days in an ethical, nonviolent, civil manner.
Wow. That's a lot there. I know there's a lot of those components we could analyze individually. As far as what do you see on the short-term horizon that might be of concern to your average citizen out there? I mean, for example, let's start with economics. I know economist Martin Armstrong has predicted a major crash coming perhaps as soon as September. What are your thoughts on that? What's your impression about that situation?
that's an extremely intelligent, important question. Martin Armstrong has never been wrong. In fact, he went to jail for 7 years because he refused to give his model to CIA. They were actually trying to extort his model from him. He is predicting that in September of this year, we are going to have a financial crash bigger than 2008.
Wow.
Wall Street is already trying to manipulate the media narrative and say, well, this is all Donald Trump's fault because the public has no confidence. The market has no confidence in Donald Trump. That's absolute baloney. Even if Hillary Clinton were president today, we would be facing a catastrophic market crash in September of this year. What Donald Trump needs to do is force the issue of election reform and remove the charter from the Federal Reserve together with a banking holiday. He needs to literally close down the Federal Reserve as a private banking entity. He needs to take control of the American economy. He needs to consider a debt jubilee that would be used in September to completely offset people's losses to this rigged financial system. And there are some other things he can do, but the bottom line is nationalize the Federal Reserve before the 1st of November 2017. If you nationalize the Federal Reserve and have a debt jubilee or a debt renegotiation in your pocket, and if you also have prepared the military and the Department of Homeland Defense to make sure that food and energy and water supplies continue to move, whether people can pay for them or not, then you are ready to protect Main Street against Wall Street. Donald Trump right now is not preparing for an economic crash in September, and that causes me a lot of concern. He should be talking to Edgar Feige. He should be talking to Carl Denninger. There are a lot of people he should be talking to. Right now, he's surrounded by 54 Ashkenazi Jews, and he is being overly influenced by Goldman Sachs, which has 10 people working for Donald Trump directly, whose specific job is to keep him from thinking about September 2017.
Wow. That's why I think your education effort is critically important. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
So now, you said that there are the economic situation, there might be other conditions or preconditions to a revolution. Maybe it'll be a violent revolution. Maybe it'll be a peaceful revolution. Are there other things that you see as a precondition? And I know you talked before about UNRIG and the Summer of Peace, the goal being to restore integrity and a peaceful revolution. But are there other things besides the economic, whether it's deep state?
Yes, I mean, I did my first graduate thesis at Lehigh University in 1976 on predicting revolution. I have an original model that is still the best in the world. It was featured in The Guardian in June of 2014 in an article by Nafiz Ahmed, and it got 73,000 shares, which is amazing. This isn't views, this is shares. Essentially, all of the preconditions for revolution exist in the United States. The three most important are concentration of wealth, loss of faith in the legitimacy of the government, and loss of faith in the media as a source of information. The U.S. public now understands that the government is lying to them, the banks are lying to them, and the crap news network, Fox News, Three Idiots in the Morning, Five Idiots at Night, New York Times, Washington Post, all liars. All liars. Now, the good news is that if we, the people, have this conversation about restoring integrity to our government this summer, and I mean, I love Joan Blades and her concept of a living room conversation. I mean, Move On has been hijacked. Move On, which she started, has been stolen from her by George Soros and others. But Joan Blades is an extraordinary talent. And she has this vision for a living room conversation in which everyone from all sides can come together and have a civil conversation. And I believe that a civil conversation at the neighborhood level is the answer, not all of these protests that George Soros is funding, not this blood in the streets that Loretta Lynch, idiot Loretta Lynch, has been calling for, not this sneaky stuff that Obama is doing, trying to subvert the government and use non-government, nonprofit organizations to basically overturn government policy and so forth. So civil conversations at the neighborhood level. And then let me say very clearly, it takes no more than 10 activists for every congressional district to put each member on notice that if they do not sign the integrity pledge, which can be easily downloaded from hashtag unrigged beyond Trump and Sanders, if they don't sign the integrity pledge, then the American people in those districts should begin to move to get that congressperson fired. Okay, now Cynthia and I are educators. We are not going to talk to any politician. We are not going to start or draft or sign any petition. We are not going to protest. We are not going to sit in. We are simply going to educate. And I believe in my heart that alt-right and alt-left, or populist right and populist left, and people of color and Latinos, and the Constitution, Green, and Libertarian parties in particular, the Working Family Party, the Justice Party, everybody should come together and say, enough! No more deep state. No more two-party tyranny. No more Federal Reserve. It's time we put the American people back into the U.S. government. And this is how we do it.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, because you're a veteran yourself. You served our country for at least 20 years. I think you understand the veteran's mindset. Now, what would you tell the veterans, those in law enforcement, those still in the military, about their perspective to enlighten them?
That's the first time I've been asked that question, and it's probably the most important question on the planet right now. Let me first give a shout out to Chris Hedges, a left of center guy who's written some brilliant books, and one of them is called Wages of Rebellion. And in that book, he points out that revolutions do not succeed when the preconditions for revolution exist. They succeed when the veterans, the military, and law enforcement decide to stop defending the 1% against everyone else. We're there. Oath Keepers is huge. I believe that our veterans now understand that they have been screwed by the deep state. We have over 75,000 amputees. We have easily 250,000 to 500,000 veterans with PTSD, post-trauma syndromes, and so forth. Our American youth for the last 15 years of perpetual war have been chewed up and just mauled by the deep state. And I believe that our law enforcement professionals and our serving military, just like my Mossad counterparts in Israel, we all now understand that the deep state owns the two-party tyranny. The professional politicians cannot be trusted. It is time now for we the people to peacefully, ethically, nonviolently take back the power. And if all American citizens pay attention to this and confront their member of Congress in July and August when the members are home and cannot hide from their constituents, I earnestly in my heart believe that we the people can take back the power. We can combine with the good-hearted people in hashtag resist who do not want violence, who do not want to take a paycheck from George Soros. We can come together and we can create hashtag second damn rev.
Wow, Robert, that's an awesome, awesome goal. I really commend you and your efforts in that.
Cynthia McKinney, this would not be working if Cynthia McKinney were not a goddess and part of this.
And both of you working together, yes. And I know you've got a lot on your plate for this summer that's coming up. As far as I'm still... I have a lot of concerns about the deep state role in this, because as I said earlier, when I think deep state, I think of secrecy, but also deeply rooted. It's going to be tough to pull that monster out. It's hold on things. And, you know, I know part of your expertise is in the idea of open source intelligence. Any thoughts on how that can be used? We live in the information age, as we all know. We've never been inundated with more information, and it's a challenge for a layperson really to understand or to figure out what's the truth and what isn't. So what could you share for the benefit of our listeners, heavy veteran audience, about this, maybe how open source intelligence and just other insights that you've gained that can help uncover the deep state, what they're doing, what their motives are, and to kind of unwrap their control from the government? Well, that's a long question, but
that's a deep question, pun intended. It's a very deep question. Let me answer that at multiple levels. First off, the system is rigged not just politically and economically, but also in the information world. All right. I actually wrote the first letter to the White House together with three other people, Win Schwartau, Bill Kiely, and Jim Anderson, who was the top computer security engineer at NSA at the time. We wrote a letter to the White House warning them that a cyber problem was emerging. And we did this in 1994. Instead of fixing the cyber problem, NSA went to the CEOs of Dell and Hewlett-Packard and Microsoft and other companies, and they conspired with the CEOs to gut the security of our communications and computing systems for the convenience of NSA. And this is a segue to my making a very big point, which is that the CEOs of the communications and computing companies of America are traitors. They have betrayed the American public. Not only have they not provided us with secure communications and computing, but I would shout out to Micah Sifry, who's written an excellent book called The Big Disconnect, Why the Internet Hasn't Fixed Politics Yet. I'm a member of the Silicon Valley Hackers Group, and I also was the first speaker for Hackers on Planet Earth in New York. I've been an honorary hacker since 1994. In 1994, John McCartney, the father of artificial intelligence in the United States, led a study group at Hackers in Silicon Valley and said, why are we so screwed up? It all came down to Microsoft being corrupt. Microsoft has been migrating and mutating its application program interfaces so that third parties could not build useful tools on top of what are essentially retarded Microsoft applications. Okay, WordPerfect and PowerPoint, these are for retards. Okay, smart people need tools that can actually manage information, do pattern analysis, anomaly detection. There are 18 functionalities in the computer-aided tools for the analysis of S&T. So Microsoft single-handedly has retarded the American information industry for 30 years. Okay? Now, we move on to the media and academics. I wrote a preface in Election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig, in which I identified the eight major tribes of information in the United States. Academic, civil society, including labor unions and religions, commerce, especially small business, government, especially local, law enforcement, media, military, and non-government. All eight of those tribes are working with roughly 2% of the relevant information, and they're not sharing that information. So what America needs, and what I have proposed to Donald Trump in a memorandum for the president that's been read by over 4 million Americans, including Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, is we need an open source agency. Now, the Office of Management and Budget has approved this twice. Once in 2000, when Sean O'Keefe, the deputy director of OMB, said this is a great idea. And then he got pissed at his director and went off to NASA. And a second time in 2010, when Kathleen Peroff, the deputy director of OMB for National Security, also agreed this was a good idea and essential. The reality is that secret intelligence provides, according to General Tony Zinni, who was then commander of CENTCOM, at best 4% of what anybody needs. And that's really only at the presidential and commander level. The secret intelligence community is worthless in terms of providing intelligence to the regimental and battalion commanders or to the services or to the departments of agriculture or energy or whatever. Open source intelligence, by contrast, General Peter Schumacher, a man I continue to admire, when he was commander of SOCOM, He heard me out. He ordered an OSINT unit. Within a year, Ben Harrison was proving that the open source intelligence unit at SOCOM was answering 40% of all special operations requirements worldwide, including requirements for Russian tactical military maps with contour lines for denied area border crossings. 40% for $5 million a year. That's the contrast, okay? So when Donald Trump says the system is rigged, he's just the tip of the iceberg. The system is rigged across the board. And so until we, the people, demand election reform, demand an open source agency, demand that Donald Trump stop employing traitors and agents of Mossad as his core advisors, we're going to continue to have a government that is owned, operated, that is of, by, and for the Rothschilds, the Black Pope, and the banks. Okay, wow. So this is part of our educational effort. And my bottom line here is God bless Donald Trump and God bless Bernie Sanders, because they opened the public's mind to the reality that we live in a rigged system. Now, they have failed to bring the bacon home. Okay, What we need now is for Donald Trump to take leadership of hashtag unrigged. And if he won't do that, then Rand Paul and Tulsi Gabbard and Cynthia McKinney and I and some others can. But ultimately, all we can do is educate. At the end of the day, this boils down to you, each individual American citizen, deciding you've had enough and going to your member of Congress and saying, you either sign the integrity pledge or I'm going to move heaven and earth to get you fired.
Wow, that's awesome, Robert. I think you've really hit the nail on the head. Now, as far as this summer of peace is coming up, what are some things that the public should be looking for? What can they do to help, to join the effort?
Well, let me give you three quick things. Number one, I think we need a massive public surge toward Donald Trump. Twitter, YouTube, the whole bit. There are now people going on to YouTube and posting selfies, which say, Mr. President, you said we have a rigged system. Why are you not leading hashtag unrigged? I'd love to see 100,000 of those. Okay. Hashtag unrigged is established. Please use it. So number one is I'm still trying to get our legitimately elected president to lead rather than hide in the White House and play games with the deep state. Donald Trump needs to come out and play with the American public and lead the American public. That's number one. Number two, Cynthia McKinney and I need $250,000 in order to go on a bus tour across America. And this is bare bones, and it does not pay a salary to either Cynthia or I. This is just the expenses of the bus and security for Cynthia and the publicity and press releases and organizers at each stop and so forth. So at Indiegogo-Unrig, if you understand tiny URLs, so yes. tinyurl.com/Indiegogo-Unrig, you will find a campaign. It's got $18,500 today after 7 days. We're looking to make $50,000 a month for each of the next 4 months. That will be enough to fund our educational mission. The third thing is forget about Donald Trump. Forget about Cynthia McKinney. Forget about Robert Steele. Just do it.
Right, right. Very good. Now, you've written so many books. I think our audience really needs to know where they can go as part of this education effort. Can you speak to some of your books, especially the most recent ones?
I'd be glad to. First off, let me say that all of my books, except for the Open Source Everything Manifesto, are free online. I am not in the business of making money. I am in the business of educating the public as inexpensively as possible. So robertdavidsteele.com is my personal website where all of my books, articles, briefings, chapters, monographs for the U.S. Army Strategic Studies Institute, and congressional and executive testimony are all free online, all linked and structured, my audiovisual interviews, everything free online. I've written 8 books on reforming intelligence. I am not a whistleblower. I continue to honor my lifetime secrecy oath signed for the CIA and the Marine Corps. I am simply the most published critic of American intelligence in the English language. And among my books are On Intelligence, Spies and Secrecy in an Open World, with a foreword by Senator David Boren, a Democrat, and The New Craft of Intelligence, Personal, Public, and Political, with a foreword by Senator Pat Roberts, Republican. My most recent books are Intelligence for Earth, Clarity, Diversity, Integrity, and Sustainability. Those are 4 very powerful words because that's the way we need to go forward. And the Open Source Everything Manifesto, Transparency, Truth, and Trust. Now, Cynthia and I, working with Steve Berman and Angie Blake, who's our alt-right outreach person, and Denise Wilbanks, who's our Latina outreach person, our Latino outreach person. She's a Latina. They recently helped us devise a mission statement and a value statement. And I really think that Americans need to understand that we're at a transformational place right now. It is possible for us to go beyond parties. And I'll give John Kasich credit in Ohio recently. He said that the next governor of Ohio, and I know Dennis Kucinich wants to run for governor of Ohio. I admire Dennis Kucinich very much. He says we are beyond parties now. Well, that's not quite true because the two-party tyranny is going to try desperately to retain power. Would you like me to read our new mission and vision statement?
Yes, please. Please.
Okay. This is our new mission statement: to restore integrity and truth to governance with the informed will and wisdom of we the people at its heart. I mean, what kind of moron or traitor do you have to be to not agree with that?
Okay. Absolutely. Right.
To restore integrity and truth to governance with the informed will and wisdom of we the people at its heart. We the people are the heart of governance, not the two-party tyranny or the banks or the Rothschilds or the Jesuits. Okay? And our vision statement: to enjoy a transparent government by 2022 that operates with honesty, respecting our planet and human spirit, so that we may create a healthy, prosperous America rooted in truth with peace as our shared condition. Peace actually makes prosperity for everybody possible. War is a profit center for Goldman Sachs, the banks, the Rothschilds, and the satanic Jesuits. So, wow. Let me say that again: to enjoy a transparent government by 2022 that operates with honesty, respecting our planet and the human spirit, so that we may create a healthy, prosperous America rooted in truth with peace as our shared condition. I mean, we can't do any better than that.
Right. And the timing could not be more crucial right now in our country. The division, I think everyone would agree, is just incredible. And the concerns about the deep state and the conditions or preconditions for a possible revolution, the importance of peace, as you've just emphasized, is very, very significant. So, Robert,
can I make a quick point? Very quick point.
Please do. Yes.
I want everyone in hashtag resist to understand that I offered Bernie Sanders the Election Reform Act in 2015 and 2016 8 times. And Bernie Sanders blew me off 8 times. Bernie Sanders did not actually want to be president. He wanted to be a sheepdog for Hillary Clinton. So all of you in resist, you need, and the People's Party, which is Sheepdog 2.0, you need to understand that Bernie Sanders represents the two-party tyranny. He is a front for the two-party tyranny. I'm not sure whether Donald Trump has become a front for the two-party tyranny. I hope not. My second point: I'm a libertarian. I tried very hard to get the Libertarian Party and the Green Party to run a dual candidacy where the two candidates would agree that they would run independently without a vice presidential nominee, and if one of them won, the other would become the vice president. Those two parties refused to entertain that concept. Had they entertained that concept, this is probably the one election they could have won.
Wow. Wow. Well, Robert, I think as we draw towards the end of our show today, I'd like to give you one more opportunity to provide our listeners with some points of contact, how they can find out more information, how they can donate one more time, how they can donate to the cause, and where they can go for more information.
David, I have never had a better interview in my life. Thank you. You have really, really helped me bring out the essence of the message that Cynthia McKinney and I are trying to deliver to the American people. And this is, by the way, a global model. We're getting a lot of interest from Australia and Canada, the United Kingdom, and other countries because they see this as something that could inspire others. I actually have goosebumps as I'm saying this to you, okay? Bottom line here is, if you look up hashtag unrig, we own the first 3 screens. We own the first 30 search results. So all you have to remember is hashtag unrig. Now, if you want to donate, you can donate at Indiegogo-unrig with tiny URL. You can also donate to paypal.me/earthintel. And everybody who donates gets this beautiful certificate signed by Cynthia and I as a founding citizen of the first American Revolution. We would like very much to give out 1 million of those certificates by the 1st of November.
Wow. And I thank you very much, Robert, for being with us. Good luck to you and Dr. McKinney and everyone in the effort. Good luck in your efforts this summer as well as in the future. And I will listen for our listening audience. This interview will be a archived podcast available in perpetuity on the internet, on BBS Radio, as well as other locations. So I'd like to thank Robert Steele for his time and his ideas, his genius, and his hard work. So thank you very much, Robert. Have a good day.
God bless America.
Yes. Bye-bye. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.